This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Speaking of scary slash scared dudes, we'll get into Anthony's Halloween costume in just a little bit. But here on a Thursday on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. It's our pleasure to welcome in, right off the top of the show, Washington Commanders quarterback Mike Sanders still. Mikey, what's up, dude? Appreciate your time. How you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing great, man. I'm getting ready for the Giants. Just got out of practice, got to head into meetings in a little bit, but feeling great, man. Excited. Happy to be here. Appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. Are you a big Halloween guy, by the way?
Not really. Today's my girl's birthday, so that's the biggest
thing to get. That clearly takes precedence.
Gonna celebrate that.
I hear you on that. I'm not a big Halloween guy either. My producer is dressed like Nelly right now. He's got the Band-Aid on and the whole deal over there. So this is his day. But we'll let him have that. You have that with your girl, and then we're just gonna talk football for the next 10 minutes. I don't want to ask you too much about the Hail Mary play, just because our guys have mostly moved on. But there was a moment from you being mic'd up with it that I wanted to kind of ask you about. In a larger picture sense, which, you know, for fans that haven't seen it, you were mic'd up, and there's this moment where one of your coaches comes over and says, like, you know, hey, we got to give this thing the energy it needs to the end. And you're like, yeah. And you get up off the bench and you're right there on the sidelines. And of course, we all see what unfolds for you. And you think about the energy of a locker room. How is that something that you feel like you have control over? And how important do you think it is to the success that you guys have had this year?
Just understanding that, like, you know, everybody's involved. Everyone has a role. So really just, like, knowing that, like, whatever your role is, it's important to the success of the team, no matter how big, no matter how small. It's always all hands on deck. And I think that's one thing this team truly embodies, is that, you know, we're one unit. We move together. And we just have full belief in each other. And, you know, in a play like that at the end of the game, no matter what the circumstances, you know, there's never a point in time where you lose belief. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had the belief that, you know, we were going to win that game. And, you know, Jaden did what he did and executed a Hail Mary. And Noah was there to, you know, be where he needed to be to make that catch. So just, you know, having that belief in each other.
Mike Sanders still with us here on the Hoffman Show. And I know this is a tough question for you because this is your first year. And I get the sense this is how things might have been for you at Michigan. But I covered the league for a long time and have covered the league for a long time. And the interaction between offensive and defensive players is not something that is normal. I actually heard Devontae Adams say when he joined the Jets, like, that was something that he was like, hey, like, if we score a touchdown or if you guys make a big play, the other side of the ball needs to go celebrate that. Have you been around a team quite like this? And maybe talking to guys like Bobby, you have been around the league a lot longer. Do you find the togetherness that this unit has across the offense and defense and the 53, you know, 70, including practice squad guys, do you have any sense of how unique that is?
Yeah, it's a true brotherhood. It's not a team where the offense is with the offensive guys, defense is with defensive guys, and then, you know, you have your special teams guys with special teams guys. Like, you know, everyone has a bond with each other. Everyone is friends. Everyone is cool. It's all genuine. It's organic. And as a rookie, this is a great environment to be a part of with veterans who've been in this, you know, been in this league for, you know, 6+ years. Like, being able to be a part of what they have already set out here, the standards that they put here in the offseason, and then embracing us as rookies, just it's a true team. It's a true brotherhood. And, you know, I wouldn't want to play for anybody else.
Mike Sander.
You know, these guys have been treating us here.
Mike Sander still with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, Commanders rookie cornerback. Mikey, what is something that has surprised you that you're like, oh, this is a little bit easier than I thought it might be at the NFL level? And then what's something on the other side where you're like, wow, this is way maybe more difficult or took a lot more work than I anticipated in the transition from the college to the pro game?
If you want the full honesty, I think transitioning wasn't very difficult because of how well Coach Harbaugh, I don't know why I just said his name like that, Coach Harbaugh prepared us at Michigan. Like he ran the program like a pro program. And he, you know, set us up for success at this level. And so for that, I'll always be appreciative of. I think that what's easier for me is from a time standpoint, knowing that everything I do now is straight football. I don't have to worry about class. I don't have to worry about homework, tests, midterms, finals. I'm able to just focus solely on football. And then I think, you know, the tougher part, I guess, is just, you know, as a rookie, just getting adjusted to the speed of the game. You know, you're playing against professionals, guys who have millions and tons of reps at the things they do. You know what I mean? So just – that was the biggest thing for me when I came in is just, you know, getting adjusted to the speed of the game.
Something that I think is, I don't know, I just had this thought, and so I'm going to run it by you, is specific to your position. But you obviously played a lot of nickel in college. That was originally what the thought was here. You've moved outside. But I would imagine playing corner either inside or outside, the difference in the hashes has to matter, just the amount of space. And, you know, if you're playing the nickel in college, sometimes you're on that field side and there is, you know, just tons of space because the hashes are so wide. And then sometimes if you're on the boundary side and they line up tight on that side, there's not a lot of space to deal with. Does any of that translate in terms of the ability to play both in the league because you have played in both tight and wide spaces?
I don't think, you know, from my position specifically, it's made too much of a difference. You know, I think outside corner, it allows, you know, the thing I know is that, like, as a receiver, they do have more space on the sideline because they could line up closer to the numbers as opposed to, you know, if a boundary receiver in college is in the boundary, there's very limited space with him being outside the number to the sideline is very close, you know what I mean? So there is that difference there, but I think the biggest difference is from, you know, college and NFL is the type of plays you'll get. Like in college, the hashes allows them to run a lot more horizontal side to side, east and west plays, whereas in the NFL, a lot more plays go vertically up the field, a lot more shots downfield. You know, I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed.
Mike Sander still with us here on the Hoffman Show. What's something that you have really enjoyed about playing under Joe Witt? He's a guy that has a long history with, you know, coaching up the secondary, so that's kind of his baby. Obviously, you have great coaches in Tommy Donatell and on down the list as well. But what's something about Joe that people should know and that you really appreciate?
He is a phenomenal coach, and, you know, his resume speaks for itself. But, you know, what I love about him is that, you know, he lets us get after it. You know, he's gonna, you know, make calls that, you know, put us in position to be successful as a defense. He has full trust in his players. And, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but from what I'm seeing, there's not one person on this defense that doesn't enjoy playing for him. So, you know, he's a coach that I'll go in every single day wanting to get better with and wanting to win with and, you know, win for, play for.
Two more questions for Mike Sander still here on the Hoffman Show. First one, just I know you can't give too much away here, but how different is it prepping this week going against an opponent for the second time for the first time in your career and obviously the first time this season compared to the weeks of prep leading up to this point?
You know, just because it's our second time, we, you know, focus on, you know, the things that they where they were successful against us the first time. And, you know, just being able to correct those mistakes. And then, of course, just seeing what they've been doing week to week against different opponents and what, you know, what success they've been having. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's always going to come down to what calls our coaches give us and how well we can execute those calls. And then, you know, just knowing that, all right, we're playing our second time divisional game. Like, you know, the stakes are always much higher when it comes down to divisional opponents. So we just have to be, you know, ready to go on Sunday and just be ready to execute four quarters.
Yeah, Mikey, I know do you have time for one more quick question, or are you like literally about to run into a meeting right now and I don't want to make you late?
I have time for one more quick one.
Okay. You mentioned Coach Harbaugh earlier. This is a total fun one, non-specific to things now question. You mentioned Coach Harbaugh. We have heard all kinds of crazy stories about him over the years, including this year, him going in ice baths and full khakis and garb and the whole thing. What's your funniest, like, favorite go-to Jim Harbaugh story?
My funniest... honestly... I think it would have been this past winter after the Natty, him keeping his promise to get in the 15-0 tattoo after the national championship.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, coaches getting tattoos, especially him. He doesn't seem like a big tattoo guy, personally. But
Nah, not at all. He definitely – I'm surprised he stuck with it. And He let Trevor Keegan take the tattoo gun and shade out one of the numbers, but it was cool to see. It was funny. You know, we were in there just all laughing at the moment. It was real funny.
How did he handle the tattoo gun?
He handled it pretty well.
I could just see him being super stoic. This is a man that takes ice baths and khakis. So, you know, it is what it is. Mikey, appreciate the time, man. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll talk to you again down the road.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Mike Sanders still with us, everybody, here on the Hoffman Show, Commander's Corner. That's why you never be late to the show. You never know what you might miss. Appreciate Mikey's time for sure. And when we get back, we dive headlong into our big topic of the hour here on the Team 980. The Commanders are sitting at 6-2. That's very, very good. But for a team that needs to continue building their roster moving forward, picking at the end of the first round is not as good as picking at the beginning of the first round. Again, these are first world problems, but it doesn't mean they're not problems. Should that affect how Adam Peters approaches the upcoming trade deadline that's coming on Tuesday? I'll make my case of why that answer is yes, and we'll take your calls on it. 301-230-0980. Next on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, where you can't hear the fact that Anthony is playing Nelly right now, but he is. And of course, we're live on the radio and on the Odyssey app, where people can hear the Nelly, but can't see Anthony dressed up as Nelly in this particular song's music video.
You like my costume?
I do like your costume. I instantly walked in and went... Nice job. So Anthony's got the do-rag on. He's got the chain out. Is that the MJ Laney High School, or is that a North Carolina grade out? What do we got?
This is a North Carolina, but Darius gave me some critiques or some criticism about my costume. And Vic, they suggested I maybe should have been in St. Louis gear.
Well, I was going to ask, is that jersey specific to something that Nelly wore in
one of his
music videos? Yeah. That's what I thought. Because I have like vague memory of that, but that might not be correct because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But of course, Anthony also has the signature Band-Aid on his cheek. That's the bit. That's
need
the
that. Need that.
Yeah. And you do have the, I feel like he did go with the white tee underneath the
Yeah, I think this jersey. Was a big enough white tee. I know, you know, back in the day they wore like triple X, quadruple X.
Yeah.
I wasn't courageous enough to do that.
No. But Anthony's dressed up Halloween. I'm not.
Yeah.
I should, you know what would have been a funny bit? I should have worn like a shirt and tie and be like, what are you dressed as? A TV guy.
Ah, I'm not going to lie.
That would have been kind of a funny bit.
I would have.
You want to know what also it would have been?
Who?
Miserable. It's hot in here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just hot outside today. It's like I got like comfy pants on and they're not that heavy, but like I'm almost regretting wearing them.
Ah.
It's that hot. We might need to turn on some air, Anthony. Normally we have to turn it the other way. We have to stop the air because it's freezing us out today.
I got you.
Buddy, it's like 80 degrees on Halloween. I don't think this is the show where we talk about that. Oh, you got like some skinny jeans going too. Didn't notice that till you stood up. Is that part of the costume? They weren't wearing skinny jeans in 2004, bro.
They were wearing the opposite
of skinny jeans. That's hilarious.
I wasn't courageous enough to do that either. Yeah.
You also should have done some bicep curls before you came in because Nelly's pretty jacked.
Yeah.
Not that you're not. Just accentuate the pump, you know?
For sure.
All right. Enough Halloween bits. If you want more, go trick-or-treating tonight. And actually, don't. If you're listening to the show, you're either going trick-or-treating already with your kids or you're old enough that you shouldn't be going trick-or-treating. The point is, the Washington Commanders are 6-2. They are second in the NFC. Those are great things. This is a team that has really maximized, I think, most games this season. Tampa was a learning experience. It was Jaden's first game. He quickly made a bunch of corrections. They survived the Giants game, thanks in part to the Giants kicker blowing out his hamstring on the opening snap. They were able to overcome their red zone issues and win it 21-18 on 7 field goals. Then they put on amazing performances against Cincinnati, Arizona, Cleveland. They play Baltimore kind of tight-ish, but clearly, okay, that's another level to get to. They come back, they bamboozle Carolina, and then they survive in the Hail Mary against Chicago. So they sit at 6-2. They have, I think, made a lot of people believers in terms of what they're doing. And now, when you're 6-2 and you have a bunch of cap space and some extra draft capital, you are inherently going to be aggressive at the trade deadline, you would think. That the kind of team, the kind of profile that Washington has in terms of assets and the war chest place in the standings would make you think this is a team that is going to be aggressive. But they're also in year one, allegedly, of a rebuild. One that seems to be far ahead of schedule, getting a quarterback who comes in, and despite the fact that you think he's the right guy, you can't reasonably, feasibly expect a rookie quarterback to come in and play at an MVP level because it's never happened before. But all of a sudden, your guy is. And with that comes not only the pressure to potentially be buyers as opposed to coming into the season being like, hey, let's see how it goes. And then you probably sell on John Allen, for instance, at the deadline. Now you're looking to add. But you also don't want to mess up the future because this is year one and you don't want to sacrifice year four for year one. And if you want to pick one of those years, it's year four because your quarterback is going to be even more advanced than what he is now, even though it is hard to imagine what that looks like considering how well he is playing right now. There's also another factor here that I hadn't really thought about until I will give my boss credit. He brought it up to us when we were chit-chatting the other day, which is Washington's needs are not a mystery. They are defensive end. They could use a premier pass rusher. They have gotten quite a bit of pressure, and Luvu has really come on. Armstrong's had some nice games. Fowler's had some nice games. But it's totally different having a 15-sack guy, having your Micah Parsons as DQ and Joe did in Dallas, having TJ Watt, having Myles Garrett. The way offenses have to react to those guys gives you more options as a defensive coordinator. And cornerback, where Benjamin St. Juice is not playing as poorly as many people would like to think, but is certainly not playing at a level that gives you great confidence that if he's your number one corner for the rest of the year, you can be a top half defense in the NFL. BSJ is just not that guy. He was never supposed to have to be in this role, and realistically, he is. And while Mike Sainer still is playing very well, and Noah Igbinoghene is mostly playing pretty well inside, they are giving stuff up too. And if you could bump Mikey back into the slot, use Noah as more of a package player, and have BSJ be your number two corner, now you're cooking. And so in the long term, they also, by the way, are going to need even more because Benjamin is a free agent after the season. So even if you want to keep him as a number two, you're going to have to re-sign him. Realistically, you're probably looking at something else. And then all of a sudden you're going, okay, are we drafting someone? Well, then we got a bunch of young corners. But either way, defensive end, corner, or even number two wide receiver, although their offense has been tremendous, if you could get someone else to push vertically down the field or command the kind of attention that, say, Terry is going to start getting a lot more of because of how dominant he has been in the last 6 weeks, that's a game changer for you on offense. Well, receiver, and then especially defensive end and corner, are premier positions that if you want to attain them in the NFL draft, are things that you're going to have to do in most years at the top of the first round. If you want a legit number one corner and you want the best guy in this draft, you might have to have the number one overall pick. Travis Hunter, we don't know if he's going to play wide receiver or corner in the pros, or both, but Travis Hunter is going to be the first guy off the board. Well, that's going to push other guys up. And this is a strong corner draft, but you don't necessarily want the fourth guy. You want the first or second guy. Defensive end. Last year was kind of a weird year. There was no real premier guy. The best guy in the class was Laiatu Latu, but he had a big medical question. And so the Colts were able to get him, but that was at what? 14? 18? Somewhere in there? It was out of the lottery, so to speak. To borrow the NBA phrasing. You're not getting an elite pass rusher, at least one that's a known commodity. And not that they always hit. Sorry, Chase Young. But you're not getting Myles Garrett, obviously, who was a number one overall pick, or Von Miller, who I believe was a second overall pick, or the TJ Watt was a guy that was a little bit later, or that was later. But you're not getting the premier guys likely at 29, which is where Washington currently, based off their record, would be sitting. And so, considering the cap space that they have, and considering the fact that you don't have a lot of guys coming up you need to pay, one, your quarterback is on a rookie deal for the next 4 years. Two, because the previous administration's first-round picks are basically all gone. There's no big guy that's coming down the pike to pay. There's no Jamin Davis that you're going to have to make a decision on to make. Do we want to pay him a big linebacker contract, a position that we typically don't think is one that's wise to pay? Already cut him. No need to worry about it. Done and done. Jahan Dotson in a couple of years? Nope. Don't have to worry about a big wide receiver or another big wide receiver contract because you traded him to Philadelphia. And by the way, that third round pick you got, That one's at the top of the third round right now because that's Miami's third rounder. On down the list, Chase Young, obviously already gone. And then Emmanuel Forbes, big cornerback contract. I don't know that dude's going to last the season. He played 6 snaps last week, was pretty pitiful in a run fit, and that was kind of the end of him. And so if all of a sudden they do make moves and they need a roster spot, I think he is closer to the chopping block than he is any kind of long-term commitment from Adam Peters. And that's not exactly a bold take. So without any of those guys to pay, and the best guy that from the last administration already paid in Sam Cosmi, you got to spend on someone. And in free agency, you don't get the best bet. Because in free agency, you're getting guys that other teams were willing to let go. And other teams don't let guys just walk that are the best. They trade them or they sign them to an extension. Those are the guys you move a bunch of money around to sign. Now, sometimes you do that. And then down the line, you realize, oh, we need to reset. this guy no longer fits our timeline, and then some of the best players in the league do become available via trade. So this begs the question, with Washington not likely to have as high of a draft pick as you would need to get the premier players that they want to get, would that affect your decision-making if you're Adam Peters coming into this trade deadline? Now, getting into the specifics is a little hairier in terms of the guys that we're actually talking about here. But on a fundamental level, on the highest level, my answer is, yeah. Yeah, it does. What about you? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We take your calls next on the Team 980 Listener Line here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock, our guy BT, Brandon Tierney, from WFAN in New York, joins to talk about the lowly New York Giants, the Commanders' opponent this weekend. Oh, what a different situation these two teams are in. We'll talk to BT about the Giants side of things and what the discussion is up there at 5. Never read the comments at 5:30, which is actually, I think, going to be fun for me this week. So we'll get to that coming up. And, of course, you'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. at 6 in our pick 6. But right now, we're asking a multi-layered question here, I guess, of you, the listener, at 301-230-0980. With the Commanders sitting at 6-2, and it's clearly not going to have the kind of draft pick that we anticipated them potentially having this year, in year one of a rebuild, does this affect how aggressive you would be if you are Adam Peters coming up at the trade deadline? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Let's go to, good gracious, what a list of people we have here. Is it really Anthony Line 2? That's the name that we're putting up on the board?
That's his name.
Okay. Let's go to Janky Rando. Janky Rando, thanks for calling.
What's up? What's up with you guys?
What you got on this Adam Peters topic?
Hey, man, in my personal opinion, I feel like just based off Adam Peters' draft class from going back to the 49ers days and then obviously coming here, I feel like he shouldn't be that much aggressive. I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to have like a little late round pick this year, you know what I'm saying? Obviously for our good record. So, I mean, if you think about it, AP do have a good eye into drafting good players at the right spot. As we think about it, you know, so I feel as though like we should go a little aggressive in the trade by the trade deadline, get some pieces that we need, and then we'll still be good by the time we get to the draft for this offseason.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate the call. And yeah, I mean, I think this is the balance, right? You trust Adam Peters to pick the best player that he can, but can he find the blue chips down the draft? I mean, maybe. But if you know you can get a guy who is a bona fide NFL star that works within your system, which is, of course, the only kind of player that they're going to get. They're not just going to go talent hunting. And they're not going to give up a whole lot in return, potentially, because some of these trades are pretty wild. And I think a lot of them are contract driven where, okay, hey, we're taking on a lot of money here. Maybe we can soften that. Or some teams play that the other way of like, hey, we had signed this guy for multiple years. It's going to take a lot more as opposed to what you would give up for a rental. So that's something that does fluctuate a bit up and down in terms of the trade value. But I think you have to be checking under every single rock to see, hey, I know this guy's great for you, but is he available? No? Okay. Buzz off. Thanks. All right. Sorry. Hey, GM over here. Is your best player available? Like, I kind of think you got to make those calls. Let's go to Ford. Ford, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Craig, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Ford. How are you?
Good. Down here in Southwest Florida. Hey, yeah, I think, you know, Adam should, and I'm sure he is making those phone calls, but, you know, it's kind of adding to your, what you just said there about within their system. He's got to be their type of guy, right? He's got to have a commander tag because I think Noah Brown is a great example. He came in a little bit late, but Dan knew him from Dallas, and he knew what type of person he was, right? Not just a star football player, or he's an edge rusher, or he's a cornerback. He's got to be a commander, right? So that's the caveat I would throw in there. So between, you know, if Adam knows somebody or Lance Newmark or Dan from their past journeys, absolutely. He doesn't have to be a star name, I guess is my point.
Yeah, I hear you, Ford. And that's, I think that is probably ultimately the more likely outcome here is that they make some moves around the edges. And look, they do have a history in Dallas of taking corners from later rounds that fit a certain profile and turning them into some level of star, right? Whether it's Diggs or whether it's obviously last year, Deron Bland, they've got a bunch of guys that they seem to know how to bring up. The thing is, though, we're talking about centerpieces for multiple years, and maybe they can find a diamond in the rough. Maybe there's some third rounder that Adam has loved that he talks to Joe about, and he's like, hey, what do you think about this cat? And Joe's like, oh, my God, I wanted him so bad 2 years ago in the draft. I want him, get him, like, let's do it. And maybe that guy becomes a stud, but I do think you have to consider trading for a bigger name because the names are obviously the star players here. It's not about name value and, you know, star power. It's about quality of player because that kind of guy is going to be harder to get. And if you get a guy, and I'm going to use a name here that I actually don't want them to trade for probably anymore, sadly, because he just picked up his sixth career concussion. But Denzel Ward is a name that has been bantied about, right? He's a star cornerback for the Browns. He's been paid. He's worth the money if he can stay healthy. Problem is, he now has had six concussions. That gives me big, big, big concerns about his longevity moving forward, whether it's just picking up more and clearly a high level of risk for him and also a decision that, like, does he get one more and want to retire? I mean, frankly, dude, you've had six. How many do you want before you make that call? That's really scary stuff on a very serious note. But if a guy like Ward is available and it costs you a third-round pick, I have to think about it. Second-round pick, even. I have to think about it. Because now I do know that I need players that are better sooner than I thought. If Jaden Daniels is this good now, I don't want to waste years of him being this good. And I only have so many of them while he is on a rookie contract. And so basically anybody you trade for, no matter if they signed a four-year deal this year, those players are still going to be on that contract. One, then most of them have outs after three. Two, they legitimately, even if they play out the contract, will not affect your ability to re-sign Jaden Daniels moving forward. And like I said earlier, there is no one currently on this roster that's not already making some money, aka Terry, who is going to have to get paid big money soon. Terry's making big money. You're probably going to need to extend him and pay him even more money. But we're talking about a plus somewhere between $2 and $5 million a year for a couple years on the cap. And that's going to be a 2 to 3 year extension, right? Terry's almost 30. So you're not going to pay him a five-year extension at this point in his career. And if you hear something like that, there's a lot of void years on the back end of that deal, and they're playing cap gymnastics. But realistically, you have a window here where you can take on a star. And that star, you have to understand why they're available. You have to hope that that reason is because they don't fit the timeline of their team, or it's, you know, the best thing that I think could happen for this team is a guy like Myles Garrett goes, get me the hell out of here in Cleveland. And like all of a sudden you go, okay, we can afford to take on Myles Garrett's contract. Most teams can't. Myles Garrett sees what they're building here and is like, I want to be a part of that. And you wind up with the best defensive player in football on your roster. Something like that, I would give up. Tell me I got to give up the 29th pick or shoot. They go on a 2-game losing streak at some point. It winds up being the 22nd pick. I'm giving that up for Myles Garrett every day of the week. So that's the kind of deal that I think is obviously, look, selfishly, it's better for us in the media. Like if all of a sudden you get an alert on your phone that says the Commanders traded for Myles Garrett, you're going to tune into the old radio show. You're going to want to know what Logan thinks on Take Command. I realize that's better than even his teammate, Za'Darius Smith, who is probably far more likely to be traded. But I think it's, to me, it's important to acknowledge how hard it is to get that kind of guy, and that is going to maybe cost a lot, and that I would be willing to listen to those things in a way that I would not have been 3-4 weeks ago. It is also worth mentioning, it is probably more likely that they go after the Za'Darius Smith level player or someone even farther down to simply supplement what they have, provide depth, or maybe even slightly upgrade, because moving around the margins in ways that are smart is very much in line with the skill set that Adam Peters has. But this is also the guy that did the Christian McCaffrey trade. Like, he can do it all. But it seems much more in line with kind of what their philosophy has been so far in terms of how they treated free agency and some of the decisions they made around roster time and some of the pieces that they've added here in the middle of the season. Take more of your calls on this next at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your calls continuing next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Brandon Tierney going to join us coming up in just a few minutes. But right now we're taking your calls on how aggressive you want Adam Peters to be next week based off the fact that the Commanders might not have the draft capital and assets that we thought they would going into the season. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Doug. Doug, thanks for calling. Thanks for waiting. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Thank you for taking my call, Craig.
You got it.
Yeah. If you would have asked me this like 4 weeks ago, I would have said yes, that around the deadline he does need to, with a lack of edge presence and the cornerback room being being subpar. But after seeing the last few weeks and seeing how Dan Quinn has really and Joe Witt has really empowered the D-line and these corners, like, I don't feel the need to go that aggressive. Bringing in a 32-year-old pass rusher like Za'Darius Smith doesn't move the needle much for me. I could see why they would add depth, but I'm seeing from Adam Peters' perspective his long-term plan. I don't see how adding him brings anything. And it's also a fact of why not just wait until free agency and not have to give up draft capital? Because I feel like a lot of those free agent cornerbacks or edges are going to want to come here to see how successful with how impactful Jaden is as a player, and then how Dan Quinn's defense is improving everybody around. So I'm saying, why not just wait and not have to waste the draft capital? But keep taking calls for sure.
Well, one, thanks for producing the show, Doug. Two, I think that it depends on what kind of player we're talking about here. And this gets to one of the core pieces that I talked about a little earlier, which is that the best players in the league never get to free agency, because teams do one of three things with them. They re-sign them and keep them. They re-sign them and trade them, or they franchise them. And then, I guess, 3A and 3B is keep or trade. But it is extraordinarily rare that a true impact player makes his way to free agency, because those are the guys that teams re-sign. And so, yes, theoretically, could you go sign Za'Darius Smith this offseason when he's a free agent? Because I'm pretty sure he is, which is why he's in all these discussions. Yeah, you could, but that doesn't help you in this season. Yeah, you got an extra draft pick, but maybe you're a pass rusher short of getting to the NFC Championship game or winning the NFC Championship game. If you think you're really that good, then isn't that worth a sixth round pick? I would say so. But I also get the other side of that coin, which is, we don't need to do that right now. Okay, fine. I think it just also depends on how aggressive you want to be this year. But the reason you can't wait till free agency is because you absolutely will not get the best players in this league that are going to be available via trade then. Now, I will say, to Doug's point, unlike years past, let's say Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland this offseason and he wants to force a trade. He would have never agreed to a trade to Washington earlier in his career. Now he might be like, yeah, I want to go to Washington. And at that point, both you and your trade partner know what the draft picks are. Right now, you're betting that this is going to continue and that things will go well for you, and that draft pick is not going to be very good. But we also don't know that. So certainty in the offseason, it's just, well, then you forfeit any potential improvement this season. Let's go to, I'm guessing this AP is not Adam Peters. If this is Adam Peters, then great. But let's go to AP here on the Hoffman Show.
Yes, good afternoon, Hoffman. I'm currently behind the desk trying to shake things up. No, it's just AP, regular old Joe. So there's that saying, the rich just keep getting richer. Like, when I look at teams like Philly, who have stacked up their teams, like, you know, going after Saquon Barkley, I mean, I'm sure it cost them something. But in hindsight, we look at that trade, and we look at the Giants, and we're like, why'd you let that guy go? Because, like, he was probably the main guy that was, well, not probably, he was the main guy that was a thorn in Washington's side. I can't speak for other teams, but he was definitely between being in tandem with Daniel Jones with the run threat. He was a thorn in our side. So, you know, I say that to say, like, I look at the Bills, they get Amari Cooper. D-Hop, he's a little old, he's a little long in the tooth, but maybe he could be an impact player. I guess I'll say, like, if it makes sense, do it. But I'm pretty sure, as they say, you got to give up something to get something. And it's got to make sense for both organizations. And if for Adam Peters, if it's just too rich for his blood, you know, I'll stick with what we got and just see, like, who's hungry on our team. And maybe they like what we got in-house, and maybe they're not even hard-pressed to make a trade because of what we have. You know, we have Alameda Zacchaeus. You know, maybe he's hungry. Maybe he's chopping at the bit. You know, he's not a premier number two, but he's making plays. At cornerback, you know, St. Juice, he's notorious for grabbing and causing penalties and whatnot, but he's still okay. You know, he's still there in the picture when the ball gets thrown in his direction. So he's not totally out of sorts at the corner. But, you know, like they say, the rich keeps getting richer. We're doing good. If we can add a few pieces that could take us over the hill and it makes sense, I say do it.
All right, AP. Yeah, no, appreciate the call. And, this is kind of the thing. In some ways, I will admit, this is a very silly topic. Because if the trade is good, then they should make it. This is not saying they should go be reckless. By no means should they be reckless. But I think what is more open is your window of what is good for the team. To me, that's where I ultimately land on this, is if you are the Washington Commanders, what you thought was worth it and worth giving up 4 weeks ago compared to what it is right now are two different things. The idea of giving up a second round pick in week two after you barely scrape by against a kickerless Giants team, that felt ridiculous. Now, for the right guy, I don't know who that guy is necessarily, but for the right guy, I'd have to consider it. And that is something that I think is illustrative of what we're talking about here, is because your timeline seems to have so dramatically shifted of, hey, hopefully we're good by year three. Now it's like, I don't know, how good can we be this year? We definitely want to be good in year two. Then year three, four, five, we want to continue to build it. So we're not sacrificing super long term, but we want to make sure we maximize each and every year of Jaden Daniels. Then, and he's ready to be maximized right now, then it has to change your equation. We'll take more calls later on in the show. Coming up next, though, Brandon Tierney from WFAN in New York joins us here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.